I preached this morning in a little church, and I said, well, I'm going to go a different direction tonight. It's going to be a little bit of a different direction, but it's going to be about the same thing. Now, this morning I talked about a new year, a new beginning. Now, folks, we're coming up on a new year. And it can be a new beginning, too. But you know, that new beginning depends on you. What kind of beginning you want to have? What kind of year you want to have? Do you want to have a positive year, or do you want to have a negative year? And I'm sure everybody in here wants to have a positive year. And sometimes we have negative parts that we can do nothing about. But folks, we need to be positive about that. I preached this morning and talked about New Year's resolutions. You know them things everybody makes that they break? Talked about that when you make a vow to God and you don't keep it, it's a sin. So why do we make them? Human character. Human side. Tradition. But a new year, new beginning. We want to have that new year and a new beginning with no fear this year. No fear in this coming year. And I'm just going to read one verse right now. Maybe all I read is in Genesis 15. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and that exceedingly great reward." Folks, what else can we ask for? Because that's the same promise that's given to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this privilege and this opportunity. I pray, Father, that your name be glorified, not man's. Use me, Father, as an instrument to bring your message that we all need to hear. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. In Christ's name, amen. No fear this year. You might say, why preach this type of message? The answer's simple. Because there's fear in all of our lives. There's fear of what this new year is going to bring. And folks, let me tell you, fear is going to ruin the new year for somebody. Fear. Even a good Christian is going to be ruined by fear because he let fear creep in. How do you let fear creep in? You start that little bit of doubt. A little bit of doubt. But let me tell you, you don't never need to doubt God. There's so much we don't understand. I go with Franklin Graham. I believe the Bible is true from cover to cover. There's not a word in it that's not true. It covers everything in the world that's happened, that's going to happen. But there's so much of it I don't understand. And sometimes I get to reading it and I get more confused than I was before I started. But you know, God's going to take care of it. But we got to concentrate on this year coming up to make it a better year in our lives, to make it a better year in the life of the church, to be a better witness for Jesus, to be a brighter light for Jesus. Because folks, let me tell you, the world needs it. And I'm going to tell you right now, we as Christians are sometimes the only light that other people see. We're the only Bible that they see. We're the only example of Jesus they see. And what kind of example are we? How do we act? You see, fear is common to all, and it's first seen in Genesis 3:10. The fall. Fear. God comes into the garden and said, "Adam, where are you?" And he says, "I'm hiding. Because I was naked." He said, "Who told you was naked? Did you eat of the fruit I told you not to eat of? Folks, let me tell you, God knows everything. We can't hide anything from God. Teenagers, let me tell you, you might can hide some things from your parents, but you can't hide anything from God. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret, too. Some of them things you think you're hiding from your parents, they already know about. And sooner or later, it's going to come out and bite you. I know from being a parent, and I know from being a teenager with some of the things that I done and thought I got away with, and my daddy confronted me. It might have been 2-3 weeks or a month, but yet, some way or another, he knew about them. So we can't hide anything. And sometimes fear will cause us to try to hide things. You see, fear robs robs life of adventure and joy and brings gloom instead of gladness. You know, when you get fearful, you get gloomy, you get sad. So I don't like to be fearful. Do I get fearful sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes I do. Fearful of how I'm going to do something or how I'm going to make this work out. Fearful of how the outcome of this is going to be. Then I have to stop and think, Lord, you take care of it. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. But you know what? God can. God can handle anything and everything if we just give it to Him. You notice the first fear not was in the Bible was given to Abram, the man of faith. Said, fear not. Fear and faith are opposite. As faith increases, fear decreases. That's why it's important to come to church. That's why it's important to read your Bible. That's why it's important to fellowship with other Christians. I always tell people that they ask me about, I've had people ask me about getting married. Well, is your boyfriend a Christian? No, but I'll get him in church. No, you won't. No, you won't. It's the other way around. He'll get you out of church. You need to be careful. Teenagers, you need to think about that. So maybe you're getting old enough to think about that. You need to think about it. The girl, the boy you dating, are they a Christian? Are they a committed Christian? Or are they just a Sunday go to meeting Christian? Become a Christian on Sunday. Oh, I reckon that's one thing that kind of aggravates me more than anything else. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not perfect. Far, far from it. But I try to live my life where everybody can see Christ in me. But I see people that say they go to church, we do this at church, we do that at church. But when you see the way they're acting and the language they use, you wonder what church do they go to. They don't have any fear of the consequences of God. Folks, we need to have fear of God. We need to have that healthy fear of relationship with God. That commitment to God. And sometimes, like Abram, after a great victory, we experience fear. When something goes our way, something goes good, everything is going the way that it's supposed to be, sometimes we get fearful. How long is it going to last? How long is it going to be? A promise was given to Abram to overcome his fears. And that same promise is given to us to overcome our fears. Folks, let me tell you, God can take care of all your fears. I can remember one time many, many years ago, I worked with a place, and well, I worked at American Cynement, worked at the chlorine plant. We had a line bust. And I just left four men working in a room about 25 feet from where that line busted. Chlorine, you can't see it. But it come out with other products in smoke. So I grab an air pack out of the office and start going up the stairs. Well, evidently, my big feet can't find the right stairs. When I got up and realized I needed to go another way, when I was fixing to come down, I missed the stairs and I came down head first. And folks, I was fearful because I couldn't see my hand like this for the smoke, for the fog. But I knew which direction I needed to go in. Run into a panel board. And I got more fearful. And then Jesus came into my mind. And the fear went away. And I walked out of that mess. Why I tell you all that? Because fear is real. But Jesus is more real. You have to rely on Him. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Put Him first. And sometimes that's hard to do. You see, these promises are given to us by God. They're made to us. And, you know, a promise is only as good as the person making it. And when God makes a promise, I guarantee you it's going to be kept. No if, ands, or but. When He told Abram He was going to make him a nation, the father of a great nation. And Abram said, how? I don't have any heirs. But you're going to be the father of a great nation. And it came about. Abram was kind of doubtful. He was fearful that it wasn't going to happen. But he trusted. Yeah, he went about some things the wrong way, but yet he trusted and it happened. You see, God's the one that made heaven and the earth. If He made heavens and earth, He can keep any promise that He makes. That makes me feel real good when I think about that. He created the heavens and the earth. And He says He's going to take care of me if I only believe and accept and trust. Well, that's a promise we can't turn down. Nobody can make you a promise like that. Only God can take complete care of you. He's the one that cannot lie. God doesn't tell a lie. God doesn't stretch the truth. I remember as a teenager, come tell my daddy some things, and I'd kind of stretch the truth a little bit to keep out of trouble. Any of you teenagers ever do that? I bet any of you older folks stretch the truth a little bit to keep out of trouble. God doesn't lie. He tells you like it is. He's one that can do anything but fail. Folks, let me tell you, God can't fail. The problem is we fail God. Every day of our lives, we fail God. Brother John, what do you mean? Because we don't do what we're supposed to do every day of our lives. We don't glorify Him the way that He needs to be glorified when we're out in public. Somebody asks us how we're doing, we'd say, oh, I'm doing fine, I'm all right. What's wrong with saying I've been blessed? Jesus woke me up this morning, and I'm breathing on my own. What's wrong with saying that? Some people's afraid of being ridiculed. Well, all they can do is tell you you're crazy or give you a dirty look or laugh at you. It's not going to hurt my feelings. because I believe and trust in Jesus. He's the one that can take care of everything. We can stand securely on the promises of God. God's promise will hold when trouble comes. No matter what the trouble is, the promise of God will hold. And some might be thinking, well, there's trouble. I had to go through this hard, terrible, terrible time. Who got you through that terrible, terrible time? Who got you through that hardship? Who got you through that sickness? Who got you through that tragedy? You didn't do it on your own. God got you through it. He gets us through every day of life. We need to let the promises of God drive our fear away. Every problem we face this coming year and at the end of this year is covered by the promises of God. Stop and think for a minute. No fear this coming year. A new year, a new commitment, a new beginning. I don't know about y'all, but I'll be the first to admit, and I'm a little bit ashamed to admit it, but I need a new beginning with God. I need a new commitment to God. I need a stronger commitment to God. Folks, we're weak as humans. And sometimes we don't want to admit when we need help, when we need prayer, when we need that reassurance of somebody saying, it's going to be all right. God's going to take care of it. He's going to be glorified no matter what the outcome is. Folks, it's important. We can enter the year with confidence in our unfailing God. The protection that goes with this promise is, I am thy shield. Moses told Israel they'd been saved by the Lord, their shield. God shielded them. David called the Lord his shield. And God is our shield. He protects us. But sometimes he lets us get ourselves in trouble because we kind of want to drift away. The Christian still finds light and shelter in the Lord, a sun for happy days and a shield for dangerous ones. Faith in God's shields us from Satan's attack. And I've always said, and I'll continue to say it, if Satan's not bothering you, then your relationship to Jesus is lacking. If Satan don't attempt you, if Satan don't say, it's all right, you can do that. You can say that. It's all right. Nobody will know. If Satan don't tempt you, then you need to check your relationship to Jesus. I've told this morning, I'll tell it again because it just came out. I had surgery on my ear, had to have some skin cancer removed, and when they was deadening it to cut it, and folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm big, but you want to get me upset, you come at me with a needle. I have been known to turn somebody's lights out. When I was in the guard, they come at me with a needle. You know, if you're going to give me a shot, just give it to me. Don't play around with it. And he was poking them needles in that ear, and I was a squirming, and I was making noises, and he said, that's all right, you can go ahead and cuss. What happens in the operating room stays in the operating room. And the first thing that come out of my mouth was, Jesus will know. And he would. He wouldn't know the minute them words come out of my mouth. And that's what we have to do, is keep that composure of Jesus Christ. Anything that we go through, Jesus will take care of. because he's made that promise. He says, I am that exceedingly great reward. When Abram rescued Lot, he refused the rewards of the king of Solomon because he had the rewards of God. Folks, let me tell you, the rewards of God are better than any man-made rewards they are. Somebody put on Facebook about the lottery being so much money. And I thought to myself, what would you do with that kind of money? How would it ruin your relationship to Jesus? Now, I've had good Christians say, well, I'd like to find out. I don't know if I would or not. Be honest with you. In a way, I would. Because there's some things I'd like to do, some things I'd like to have done that I can't do right now. But what kind of problems would that cause in your relationship with Jesus? That's the way I look at it. That's my way of looking at it. I don't know how you want to look at it. You look at it any way you want to. I know there's a lot of money spent on that lottery. A lot of tickets being brought. But that's between them and God. You see, God wants us to be a better servant. He wants us to have a new beginning, a new year, no fear this year. And if we was to go around the room and we was all to be honest and state of fact, if I was to ask you, do you have any fear of the coming year, of what might happen or what's going on? If we was honest, we would all have to say yes, because deep down inside, all of us has got some kind of fear. To get rid of that fear is to have a closer relationship with God. Folks, that's what it's all about. That's what preaching is all about, to share Jesus with you, to share His love, His blessings, to get you to think, to get you to realize that we all need to be closer to Jesus. We need that closer walk, that closer commitment, that others can see Christ in us. Folks, let me tell you, this world's in bad shape. I don't have to really tell you that because you know it. Look at what comes on TV. Nothing. I mean, even look at the commercials that they have now and what they're showing on commercials. Sometimes it's best just to turn the TV off with what they show on commercials, telling the world that, hey, it's all right. No, it's not all right. And we as Christians, we need to stand up. We need to take a stand. We need to let the world know where we stand. That's what it's all about. Does the world know you're a Christian? Does your friends at school know you're a Christian? Do your friends at work know you're a Christian? Do they know that you go to church? Do they know that you serve God? That's kind of a loaded question, is it? Or did it come around and use bad language around you? Because they don't know how you feel about it. But that's what it's all about. No fear this year. Let Jesus take care of that fear. You know, we need that new beginning, a new year, new beginning with no fear. And the only way to get it is let Jesus take control. And that's hard to do. It's hard to let Jesus take complete control, because as human beings, we want to do it ourselves. We want to handle it. And then we call on God. God, straighten this mess out. What have I got myself into? Been there, done that. I'm sure some of you have too. But how are you looking into the new year? Let me ask you a question. I'm going to close with this. If 2020 was the last year you lived, how would you spend your time? Would it be angry, peaceful, thrifty, generous, telling others about Jesus and what He's done for you, even though you knew it was your last year? If 2020 was your last year, how would you live your life? Folks, let me tell you, there's not a one of us guaranteed tomorrow. And I'm not a doomsday person. But there's not a one of us guaranteed the night. So your relationship with Christ better be what it should be. That's what it's all about, is that relationship with Christ. No fear this year. Don't want to have any fear. Let Jesus take control. Let Him be in charge. Seek His leadership before you do whatever you're going to do. Let Him be the leader. A new year, new beginning, no fear this year. I'm looking forward to next year. I'm looking forward to trying to have a better relationship with Jesus Christ, being a brighter light than others can see Jesus in me. Because folks, let me tell you, people are watching you. People are watching you. I guarantee you, people in the neighborhood know when you don't come to church. They know, because they're watching you. If that person's a Christian, I don't want to be like that. No fear this year. Would you stand, please? I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to have a moment of invitation. This is your time. Maybe you need to come to the altar and just pray. I don't know what you need. I know what I need. And that's a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to have that too. But it's up to you.